Father, we bow before you, Lord, humbly. May we never show any pride of anything, because we're certainly not worthy to show any pride. We come to you as your children. And now tonight, those who have come and turned aside the things of the Lord to come back to the house of God, Lord, we come here for a blessing. And it's my lot in life here right now tonight to be the instrument of your hand to bring that blessing, if it's possible. Please do that. Help us grow in grace and knowledge. Lord, I pray so often, don't let this become just a time to come together and say, I've been to church. Lord, it's valuable time. We need to learn more about you and what's going on in our lives as we fill our slot in this life in time till you get us into eternity on the other side. May this be a place to grow if people want to grow. I can't make anyone, and you can't make anyone grow, but you can set the table. And dear Lord, we pray you do that tonight and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. I want to read verses 1 through 12, and then we want to look at the message. In John chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, most of us know these by heart, these verses. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time of the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want to say, I thank God today he helped me understand those verses about my new birth many years ago. And I've taught that here, and I'm not going to do that tonight. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and then heareth the winds the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, and I think this is a very good question or statement, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He's a leader of he's in the Sanhedrin court. He's a leader of their organization, the Jewish means. And yet he cannot, he's so blinded, he can't see what Jesus is telling, and yet that's exactly where he was at. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know. We speak that we do know. Isn't it a wonderful thing, ladies and gentlemen, you who go soul winning every week, pass out leaflets and whatever you do to try to get someone in church or witness to the cause of Christ, and they look at you like you come out of a backside of a whatever it is and don't know what you're talking about. Isn't it wonderful to know, though they think you're dumb, you know what you're talking about? Amen. What a wonderful thing it is to know. I have reference, I have the record, I have God's Word that backs me up. And I can talk to them about the Lord, and they think I'm the dumbest person that's ever come out of Johnson County, probably. And yet, what I'm telling them is something I know, and that's what Jesus tells us here. He says again, he said that we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Tonight, I want to speak on this subject. Flesh cannot give spiritual birth to the Spirit. Flesh cannot give spiritual birth to the Spirit. Now, why do you say that, preacher? Because we live in an age today that people think just because you're born physically somewhere or another, automatically makes you a Christian. Oh, you forgot that? I mean, there's a lot of folks today, you'd be surprised right here in Owen County, really think just because live in this era, probably used to be called the Bible Belt, and still is to some degree, though it's far from being Bible nowadays, but at least they think that by being born, and there's many people think by being born in America, because it's been noted in the years past as a Christian nation, they automatically become a Christian because they're born in America. That's not so. It's very important for us to understand. Jesus said to Nicodemus here, I don't care what your genealogy is from back in Israel's day. I don't care who you came from, descendants from, just because you're born a Jew and a leader of Israel don't mean that you're born again. You need to understand there takes more than just being born into a society physically to become a child of God. And he began to talk about a birth. And interesting, I won't get into it tonight in depth, but there is one of the most amazing things, I think, in leading someone to the Lord when you have the time to do that is to go through what it takes ingredients to have physical birth. And everybody understands that at any age. What kind of relationship between a man and a woman? What goes on when that takes place for physical birth? Without that, you can't have physical birth. Without a male and a female, you cannot have physical birth. I don't care how you do it, you can't have it. You got to have both to have physical birth. And when you talk about spiritual birth, God has let us know the system is set up that you have the same qualities in the spiritual birth, except it's God working the seed out rather than the way man does it through procreation. And therefore, the same qualities for spiritual birth you have that you have for physical birth, and that's the reason Nicodemus, he could understand his physical birth, but he couldn't understand for being born from above. And therefore, he thought was going back to the mother's womb, be born the second time. And he said, no, you got to be born from above. And it takes the seed of God. And there's a lot of ways to look at that. And you have the process. Not only you have the seed, you have spiritual conception, you have prenatal period, you have a final delivery. All of the ingredients that you have for physical birth, you have in the spiritual birth, except it's on the spiritual plane. And so now, we want to talk about just because we have that and can be born again. We have to be born the physical time before you can be born the second time. There's no such a thing as a person being born again without being born first in the body of flesh. You've got to have this life, physical life, that whereas it be born again. Now, we're glad to know that the blood of Christ, I believe, can take care of a baby. By the way, there's going to be a lot of children in heaven. Because of the baby has been aborted in our day. The blood of Christ can take care of them as much so as that the sin of Adam can put them in a state to have the nature that man has. And I'm glad that God is a God that you can trust along those things. I don't think David had any worry about where his son was at when he died, even though it came because of his sin. He says, he can't come back to me. He says, I know I can go to him. And I say that to give introduction to the message tonight. Now, to believe that Christ will return, that's faith. To believe, to expect Him to come, that's hope. And when you invite another to meet Jesus Christ, that's love. And here we live in a country that I'm so glad that I was raised in, that when I came along years ago, I didn't have to worry about what people worry about today. About the only thing we had in our neighborhood that was really a hazard and really bad was alcohol. And most of the time society frowned on that, unless you were making money off of it. But in our day, ladies and gentlemen, everything is open up. It's the most open society I've ever seen in my life. And by the way, since most people are doing everything, nothing's wrong. So we come down to the question then, or to the statement, flesh cannot give spiritual birth to the Spirit. Flesh itself cannot give spiritual birth to the Spirit. Only God can give spiritual birth to you and I who are in this body of flesh. Now, it's interesting enough because if you listen back about April of this year, 2009, when President Obama went over to Europe and the Middle East, you remember what he said? He said, America is no longer, and I'm quoting now what he said. I'm quoting to you what I pray. Don't get upset with me. This is what he said. He said, America is no longer a Christian nation. He addressed the Turkish parliament, and he said this, one of the great strengths of the United States is that we have a very large Christian population. We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideas and a set of values. And he went on to praise the Islamic faith. He said, and I quote, the United States has been enriched by Muslim Americans. Many other Americans have Muslims in their family or have lived in Muslim-majority countries. I know this because I am one of them. Now, I have no trouble with Muslims come to live with us, but this is a Christian nation. Amen. I have no trouble for Jewish people. Thank God. I think the Judeo-Christian ethics of life that God gave is the right thing. I have no trouble with anybody coming to live in this nation, but when they say this nation is not a Christian nation, they're wrong. Now, on the other hand, if they want to say it used to be and is not now, I might agree with that. But I want to tell you, this nation was founded on Christian principles. And therefore, if there's ever been such a thing as a Christian nation, this nation was started that way. Now, there's a lot of debate about that in this day. And when you begin to look at other organizations as being, you say, a nation of ideas. Yes, but I'll still say the basic concept of this nation was that we are and were and are even today, in my thinking, it's a Christian. I thank God for the Christian principles that is laid up in our nation, in the Constitution, and other places. And I pray that God, somehow or another, our young folks coming along will get a dose of that, because it's been written out of the textbooks nowadays. So when we come back to this, how can a person who's born physically in this nation or any other nation say they're a Christian if they've not been born again? Folks, I believe that just an ingredient to know that when we're born physically, and if you ever get born again, you're going to know that too. You're going to know that. You won't have no doubt about that. And when a person begins to tell me it don't make a difference, then there's something wrong with their theology. And it does make a difference. Now, a religion can become a rigid and formal, so formal that it leaves us dead. And that's what's happened today. Religion makes people dead to life. And I'm talking about the life of God. I heard one person, it said that a man went to visit a formal liberal church on a Sunday morning. While he was in there, a man died, and said they notified the ushers, and they took five men out before they found the one that was dead. That's about the way life is. That's about the way it is in our particular day. Today, the flesh has reduced being a Christian as to becoming religious. Religious. Everything in the world is coming to approach God in a religious way. I heard recently where a fellow wanted to become a monk. He felt like it was God's call to him to be a monk. And so he went and filled out an application to become a monk. And they told him, the head monk said, listen, the only way you can become a monk, he said, is you have to go in silence for 3 years. 3 complete years. You can't say a thing for 3 years. And that'll test you to see where you have the quality to be a monk or not. And he said, well, I want to be a monk. Let's do it. So he went and he said, now at the end of every year, you'll have a review. And you can only say what they tell you they said that review. He said, sounds good to me. So the first year came up, he had time for review. And he got up and the head monk said, listen, when you go before the review board, you can only say 2 words. That's all. Now, he hadn't said a thing for 12 months. But now you can only say 2 words. He went before the review board. And he said, now you can say 2 words. And he looked at that board and he said, bed hard. That's all. He went back in another year. Another 12 months. Come up for another review. And when the review came up, again this time they said, you can only say 2 words. That's all you can say. He stood before the review board. And they gave him a chance to say, and he said, room cold. He went back into the isolation again. The third year came, and he come around again, and come up, and he said, you only say 2 words. He said, I quit. And the head monk said, well, I thought you were going to do that. And he said, the last 3 years, you ain't done nothing but complain every time you come before the review board. It's a mixed up world, isn't it? But I'm telling you, something that's different than being a monk has been born again. Knowing what it is to be born again. Let me give you three quick things about flesh cannot spiritually give spiritual birth to the spirit. The first thing is this. Flesh can only give birth to flesh. I have to understand that. It can only give birth to flesh. Nicodemus' life was governed here by his fleshly birth that was born of Abraham's seed. Nicodemus needed to become a child of God. And then amazes me, everybody knew who he was, I'm sure, in the Sanhedrin court and in Israel. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus knew who he was. And no doubt Nicodemus was a good man. No doubt he did some great things for Israel. No doubt that he trusted Jesus as his Savior somewhere along the line. But what I want you to understand is when he came to Christ, Christ does not beat around the bush. He knows the heart. He didn't begin to lay out. You know, when we go to talk to people, we want to talk so nice. We're trying to win the Lord. We want to talk about it. We see something. We're taught. You pick something out and you do your best to comment on it. Be honest when you say it and lead into leading someone to the Lord. Jesus Christ knew the heart to begin with. And when he came to Nicodemus and said this, and when Nicodemus came to Christ and said this wonderful thing, and we know that the heart God sent for God because of the miracles you did and so forth, Jesus looked right into his heart and he said, except, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That must have stunned this very intelligent religious man. And he said again, in his reasoning, how can this be? Can I go back to my mother's womb, be born the second time? He could only think fleshly birth. And then Jesus gave the ingredient, except to be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see or enter into the kingdom. First, he said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Man reborn, he cannot see thee. And then the second time he said he cannot enter into the kingdom of God without this birth. And Nicodemus was astonished. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what it said? So that tells me right there. He gave the accurate record. There is no such a thing as being born into a country. It automatically become a Christian because you're born in that culture. Thank God we probably had a chance to become a Christian better in some countries because we were born in a country that was based on biblical principles in those early days. And he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then he said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus was faithful to the religious tradition of his day. Those traditions were largely fleshly oriented and ordinance given by men. The New Testament speaks of four classes of people that were very religious at this time. Actually, there was more than that, but these are the main ones that were spoken of. Talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, talked about the scribes, and talked about they called lawyers of their day. Now, there was also the Herodians, which were religious groups. But you don't see a whole lot said about them. Most you see has to be the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and then, of course, the scribes and the lawyers of that particular day. When you look at these, the Pharisees and the Sadducees followed their separate religion's tradition. The Pharisees, of course, believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. You know the old story. That's the reason they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. So here, you got a group that says there is no resurrection, and you got a group that says there is a resurrection. And an interesting thing, it's before Jesus is risen from the dead. They're believing in the resurrection. And yet they have battle in theological positions in this place. The Pharisees believed in things that where Paul was a Pharisee. The scribes were entrusted with copying the scriptures. The lawyers that spoken in the scripture were given the responsibility to interpret the law and make religious laws for everyone to follow. If you had a difficult time of understanding and knowing how to keep one of God's commandments, you could take it to a problem to one of the lawyers. And the lawyers gave what they call fleshly solution to spiritual problems. The lawyers do what they do best. And that's make laws to nullify laws. I mean, you go to them and ask them a spiritual problem. They don't know nothing. I'm talking about here in this day, they could give them the information, but it always had to do from a fleshly aspect. They didn't understand the conditions of what God was talking about spiritually that Nicodemus did. It all had to do with generations from Abraham's day to where they were at this particular time. And so again, they nullify their right to become a child of God by giving a fleshly answer to a spiritual problem. Only the Holy Spirit can lead us to be born again. Do you know that? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I think I've got the Romans Road down. I think I've literally got a way of presenting because I present my people to be saved like I got saved. I was hard to reach. You had to go into great detail. And I know this, when you understand it from a spiritual standpoint, understanding it from a physical standpoint don't mean a thing. You've got to have the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to you and I what's going on when these words are mentioned. You and I have not the ability in our own self to lead anybody to the Lord. Only the Holy Spirit can make it real. And this is the thing about it is, if I had the ability to lead somebody to the Lord myself, they wouldn't nobody go unsaved. I don't have that ability. You know this? God can make someone get saved if they wanted to, but He won't. Yeah, I can't do that. A person asked the other day, wonder how many people you led the Lord through the year. I'd hate to know. I don't know. Hundreds of people have been led to the Lord in the last 41 years here. And then he asked the question, he said, well, what about those that stuck? I'm afraid more didn't stick than did. By the way, if you've done any leading to the Lord, you know the same thing too. It's sad. We live in a time today, it didn't used to be that way. They get trapped in a position of culture which in turn takes their mind off of God and puts it on other things at that particular time. And then they realize what's happened to it. It literally gets too late. So here, they give fleshly solutions to spiritual problems in that day. And that's happened a lot of times today. A lot of people today can't understand the scripture, so they give fleshly solutions to spiritual problems. And by the way, there's no in this world that a person can say that they're truly born again and deny Jesus Christ. And I'm so sure when I hear some people, especially in the political realm, talk about how they love the Lord, that they're really born again. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not going to let us say we're a child of God and be like we're somebody else. He's not going to do that. He's too great of a God for that. And here's the thing about it. Most religion of this world represents man's effort to reach up to God, trying to become acceptant to Him. In China, devout pilgrims climb 7,000 steps up a sacred mountain called Taishan, going through gates to reach the temple azure cloud, they call it, which is a utopia of some kind. Here they offer sacrifices trying to gain favor with God. And here's the thing. You start at the first step, and you climb to the 7,000th step, and that's a long ways up. And they're no closer to God than they were when they first started. And yet they really believe that their God is so pleased because this effort of giving themselves in this endeavor that He's pleased with them. So flesh can only give birth to flesh. The second thing I want us to note is that there's a battle raging with each of us who have been saved. We didn't have it before. The only battle I had before was when God was drawing me to the Lamb of God. I had a battle going on there, whether I should do it or not do it, because I was already a member of church. But here, after you get saved, there's a battle going on. You have a battle going on with you, and you're going to have the battle. And I feel the effect of that battle sometimes, because I'm going to preach the truth and ask God to help me understand it, to give it to you wherever I go, not only here, but wherever I go. And it's up to God to reveal to the people that hear it whether it's truth or not, because I have no ability to do that in my own power. There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And here, as we see, it begins in John chapter 3 by being born again. Here we do not have a group of lawyers solving our problems, yet we do bring those problems to church and hope that the church will solve it when we're in the services. You and I do have problems at times, and we hope somehow or another God will help us solve those problems. And sometimes it seems He's never going to do it until we come to church one day, and all of a sudden, just like that, that's the answer. Praise God, that's the answer. I got the answer this morning. And it wasn't what you thought it was either. It began to lead you into another direction. And I've seen that happen to me many times. If you were going to be, for instance, if the Central Intelligence Agency accepted you to be an agent in China, you'd have to be trained to talk and act and look and think Chinese. To be an agent there, certainly one that would go undercover somehow or another to represent your country. You would go to school to learn the Chinese language so that you could speak it fluently without a trace of an accent. You would dedicate and duplicate your mannerism. You'd learn in school how to act like a Chinese. Because if not, you would not fulfill your duty as an agent under those circumstances. You'd go under probably even plastic surgery, because I'm looking at any of you, most of you, I don't see anybody here look Chinese. You'd have to do some facial work. Because can you imagine what you'd be looking like me and then speak China and say I'm from China? I mean, after it wouldn't work, so I'd have to get my eyes changed, and I'd have to do something in turn to make me more like a Chinese than I would an American. To be a good representative agent for this country in that particular land. So you go to learn school, you learn the language. You do everything you can. You have your face changed so you look Chinese. Now, I could go through that, and probably you could get to the place that they could change my physique and looks. Maybe because I'm as tall as I am, they'd have to have someone lower, smaller. But if they went through that, they could change you or someone to look just like a Chinese, and no one else even know that you were not Chinese. No one else. The way you act, the way you talk, the way you look, all of those things together would make you look like you were a Chinese. But you would look like a Chinese, but would you be a Chinese? No. No. Why? Simple. You were not born in China or from Chinese parents. So no matter how you look like a Chinese, unless you had been born with a in the society of China from Chinese parents, your makeup, your DNA, everything about you is not Chinese. You may trick everybody that you could talk to. You may be the best agent in the world in China, but if you're not born from Chinese parents, you're not Chinese. Not glad I see that. If you do not have a Chinese parents, your race will not be Chinese. And this is true spiritually. One may talk, act, and dress like a Christian, They may sing in the choir. They may work at Christian organization. They may be a good person in the community. But these things alone do not make us Christian. You have to be born again into the family of God to be a race of Christians. That's so plain in God's Word. And yet the world eradicates it and said there's nothing to it. Just do what you can do. And they have so many means that people say you can become a Christian rather than what God says in His precious Word. And so nothing that you can do outward can change this fact. Ye must be born again. John 3:7. Jesus said that. Now why? Because we're just not joining something. We're just not having a makeover to make us look like a Christian by changing our physique and our nature and our looks and so forth, because that's nothing. We do what we do because we have been born into the family of God, and God is our Heavenly Father. It's a family. It's a race. And now while I'm here in this world making my journey from the day I got saved in my prenatal period of development until the final delivery, I am supposed to be an agent here, a soldier here, a child of God here, one who represents the kingdom of God, which I am to represent why I'm here. And you can't do that without being born again. Maybe that's the reason why there's not so much representation of that kingdom while we're here in this body. God says, examine yourself. Be sure that you're in the faith and not a reprobate. It's so important. And the thing about it is, here the battle rages with each of us who are saved. And then the last thought, the religion blinds us to the possibility of the new birth. Religions leave us wondering who can be saved. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. And we see a dialogue between the rich young ruler. Chapter 2, 18, verse 18, down a few verses. And I'm not going to read all this, take too much time. But I want to read, just skim through it. This certain ruler came to the Lord to ask him, good master, what I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, why call me good? There's only one God, that's God. He said, you know the commandments, and list a few of those. And this man said, all these have I kept from my youth. Interesting. He said, I've kept these from my youth. I've observed these from my youth. And Jesus did not reprimand him at all. He must have been a pretty good feller. He must have been doing better than most people. Jesus knew whether he was doing this or not. And he didn't say, wait a minute, let me tell you about... No, he didn't say a thing about that. What he said, though, was that there's one thing you like. He had no idea that Christ knew. Christ hadn't been around him before. This first time, as far as we know, that he actually came to Christ to talk about anything. And he said, you like one thing, verse 22. He said to him that to go... And he said, and notice, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. Wow. Good gracious. Why would he say that? That's not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why would the Savior tell this man? He didn't say, wait a minute, you know you can't keep the law to be saved. He won't say that. But he said, now take everything that you have and sell it and give it to the poor. Well, that destroys a lot of thinking today, doesn't it? And he tells us why he said that. Jesus gets to the very heart of things. He said, when he said this, he was very sorrowful. Why? For he was very rich. He wasn't just rich. He had it. He had the stuff. He was very rich, the Bible says. Then watch, he said, and when Jesus saw that, he was sorrowful. And he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for him to go through the camel and through the eye of a needle than to get into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who can be saved then? He said, with men it's impossible, with God, though it's not impossible, it's possible. And then Peter went on a dialogue about, then, you know, Peter said, Lord, we left everything. And then Jesus said to him, he said that no man has left the house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Watch verse 30, folks. Watch verse 30. You want to mark this in your Bible if you don't have it marked. Because Jesus said, who shall not receive manifold more in this, watch, present time? Right now, there's nothing that you've forsaken. There's nothing that you would leave behind, whether it be family or who it is, that God will not reward you now. Watch, he says, in this present time, and not only in this present time, but he says, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Not only will you get it here, what is needed, but it won't hinder you from getting what you have there. He's not saying that rich people can't get saved. But he is warning about the fact we must be careful that these things don't get in the way between us and the Lord. Religion makes someone uneasy, unfulfilled, and anxious about life. And so what happens is we have a lot of religion in the name of Christianity, which does not have the new birth. Even accumulating wealth, thinking that this is a sign of their salvation. But none of these things can convince you that you have eternal life. Listen to me. Only Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. A person become a multimillionaire and say, you know, I want to give $1 million to the church to build that building. That has nothing to do with your salvation unless you are born again. You've got to be born again to understand what's going on here at this particular time. Again, only Christ is the answer. And we see that. You say, but preacher, why are you so vivid about that or so strong? Look in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore no condemnation to them in verse 1, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Jesus Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Watch this. That the righteousness of the law, praise God. Look at that verse. Once you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can't have righteousness of the law to get saved. But once you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, then He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. What? The righteousness of God's law might be fulfilled. It has the potential of being fulfilled in us who are saved because the Holy Spirit of God will not lead us wrong. And if we obey what He says, then He's going to fulfill that law, which is righteousness that comes, but yet at the same time, that law can't get us to heaven, but it can help us please God after we get saved. And He says, why? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, thinking of the world as the world thinks comes naturally in this life. If there is no natural birth, there is no natural thinking. Would you agree with that? Would you do something? Winky eye at me or something. I won't think you flirt with me. Amen. If there is no natural birth, there is no natural as far as thinking. If you're not born, you can't think. If there is no spiritual birth, there's no spiritual thinking. It's foolishness to us, all of us, in this world as human beings. And yet at the same time, God teaches us we have to be born again after being born in the flesh. Again, thinking as the world thinks comes naturally, but you got to be born physically to think naturally. And then again, walking after the Spirit, you have to think spiritually. And you have to be born spiritually to think spiritually. Without that, it becomes foolish to the individual. Thinking with the Spirit of God takes a spiritual birth. It is not easy to be led by the Spirit of God. Did you know that? You know how that's done, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, God doesn't get saved and say, hey, come and follow me, son. No. He leads us through the Bible. It's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to lead you and I and help us make good decisions at that particular time, you see. Religion teaches us that we have salvation on our terms, not the Lord's. Salvation teaches us that we have salvation on Christ's terms and on God's terms rather than our own. It is not easy to be led by the Spirit of God, I said, but at the same time, He'll always cut against the ways of the flesh when He leads us with the Word. Hardest thing in this world to see that this book, led by the Spirit of God, will cut me against the flesh to make me a better Christian. And so will it any of us who wants to understand what God is doing. In Luke 18, the young ruler had an outward appearance of obeying the laws of God. Jesus told him to sell everything that he had to get it, to give it to the poor. Why? This was Jesus' way of making this man face up to his sin. He kept everything except this one thing he was not doing. And this is the only way. You see, he would never believe. We don't have no record we ever trust the Lord or not. He would never believe because this one thing kept him back. It don't take but one thing to keep a person from trusting Christ as the Savior. He was a young man who followed religious traditions. He followed the synagogue rules, no doubt. But his heart was far from God. Inside his heart had not changed. He did everything outwardly that could be seen. No doubt the priests and everybody and rabbis were very pleased with him. But Jesus saw his heart. It's obvious that this story shows us that one can be very religious and not be saved. You can paint the pump house, but it won't make the water pure. And the same thing here. Can you not understand that? Why is it then that when you and I go, I have to know this. Lord, give me grace to understand this. When I go in this world to give the gospel out, whether it be a tract or by word, and talk to people, I have to understand that this is where they are literally coming from. They have religiously decked themselves to the point they think everything's all right. And when you come with the word, then it cuts against their religious tradition. And until that's broken down, they'll never see the need to trust God at His word about His Son. It's not a matter of improving our behavior or keeping the law of the best one's ability. It's a matter of doing what Jesus said, being born again. Now, if Jesus said, and this is what gets me as a religious person, if Jesus said I had to be born again, my question was, how can I do that? Lord, I need to know how. I need to know how to do this. What is being born again? Climbing those steps, 7,000 steps to get to the top according to Chinese belief? Is it joining the church, turning over a new leaf? I've got to find out what being born again is. And I can't find it from religion. I can't find it from the culture. I have to find it from God through His precious word. Again, fallen man has a difficult time grasping this concept in life. Nicodemus was a very intelligent man. But hear me, and I found this out. I don't have such a high IQ. But I did look in the time when I came along with this as being intelligent enough to believe what I had already done, God only accepted. And I found out I was wrong. I was wrong. I was deceived. And I found this out again, that you're thinking, Nicodemus was a very intelligent man. But sometimes the trouble with every intelligent person is that they can't accept simple truths. A man can be so smart, he can't accept simple truths. And it's just a simple truth. God's simple plan of salvation, from God's standpoint, cost Him a lot. From us, it didn't cost us nothing but to acknowledge that He's right and we wrong Him. We need Jesus Christ. Truth sounds like the riddle to such people, and they try to tackle the problem from the earthly, fleshly angle. You come with truth from the Scriptures, and from a very smart man who has, in this life, it sounds like to him that you've given him a riddle of some kind. You know, Winston and I was talking about how that we went from intelligent to ignorance. It don't mean that you, that is not talking that we went from intelligent to ignorance as far as intellectualism is concerned. It's talking about intelligent with God. When a man who's intelligent says there's no God, he's a fool. And he has moved in a position for, he may have a high IQ in this life, but in God's sight, he's ignorant. Because he refuses the record that God gave of His Son. And so how can a man be born again when he's old? Look with me in Luke 18, and we see exactly what happened as Jesus told the story in verse 9 down to verse 14, and we'll go home. I'm talking about flesh cannot give spiritual birth to the Spirit. It takes the birth power of God. And the story again, Jesus tells two men going down to the temple praying. Verse 10, one's a Pharisee, one's a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men, or extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even all the publicans. And I imagine he could list a list of things a lot longer than this. So I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Don't too many Baptists do that, do they? Of all they possess. This man, in the sight of his religious organization, was a top man. I mean, he was a good man to have around, religiously. And then so the publican, standing far off, verse 13, would not lift so much his eyes into heaven, but he smote him upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what it tells me, folks? I'm going to let you go home. Bless God. I don't believe God can lie. Titus 1:2 says He can't. It's impossible. God cannot lie. Now, here's the thing. Jesus said, when that man said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, you tell me which one of these got saved. Sure won't the Pharisee. Right. Sure won't the Pharisee. Sure won't the Pharisee. So that simply means this. You tell me who's right, then the religious crowd said, we got to do what we got to do today. Or you say, I'm going to simply believe God. He said, I've had to be born again. What are the ingredients for it? Someone takes it and goes through the Roman road and other ways that lead you up to that point of salvation. You bow your head and you ask Jesus to come into your heart. And God, who cannot lie, says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart, God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's positive. Now, who am I going to believe? What the religious world says or what God says? I'm going to believe what God says. And I'll tell you this, Jesus said that man went down to his house justified, and just as much so as Jesus told this who cannot lie, it is God who said in Romans 10:9-10, exactly the formula to be saved. And here's the thing, when we do that, he cannot lie, and God is telling us we have the assurance in our heart if we meet his criteria of acknowledging, that's all it is. You have no work you can do, that he's right, we're wrong, and we need Jesus Christ. And based on the authority of God's word who cannot lie, he says, thou shalt be saved. You mark it down. It'll happen. It's real. But it's all by faith. It's a ring of faith. And faith is kind of like the sixth sense for the child of God that gives you assurance. It's ever the things hoped for, such as things hoped for, ever the things not seen. We know back that the Word of God, the world was framed by the Word of God. The world looks at this earth and space, and they puzzled and trying to study it and say we come from and come up with a big explosion. But we know that there was a time that Almighty God spoke and had the power to bring to existence out of nothing that which we see today. That's our God. And he's the one who says, you got to be born again. You must be born again. It's not a think so, should I, maybe. He says, ye must be born again. When you are, you are. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, in our day. Lord, that's the reason I believe right now. We're seeing an age in our life that where this world, our nation is changing so much. Now, in foreign countries, dear Father, those who are getting saved and the masses are generally underground. They're not in charge of each individual nation. And we're seeing that happen in our nation. We've got a lot of folks of all kind of walks of life living open sin and declaring it's okay and it's okay with God. And Lord, the Word of God has been minimized and placed down and pushed down and tried to push out. And establishments have become to the place nowadays that God's anything anyone wants him to be. And dear Father, for us to come along here in Clayton and in just a small way, the things you give us to get the message out by word, by visitation, by printed page, by the radio, through the college, to get the word out. It seemed to be a small scale compared to what the world's doing. But our Father, until Jesus comes, you're working. You're doing what needs to be done. And we come to you tonight and want to say thank you. At least I do, Lord. I want to thank you that when you told Nicodemus a man needed to be born again, thank you for helping me understand that. Thank you, Father, for letting me see exactly what you were talking about. Let me see as I look at physical birth, and then greet us there. Then turn my eyes towards you by faith and see there's an ingredient, in fact, for spiritual birth, but it's in the spiritual realm that can make us alive and well and quicken us into being a child of God. And we can cry what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we be called children of God. Dear Father, bless your people this week. They go into this world. Dear Father, in every place we go, there's going to be someone that's going to be against. They're going to hear things that they don't want to hear. And yet, because we're in this world, we know this, dear Father, that we're not of it. We're not taking in and trying to keep from taking in all the world has to give. And we thank you. We understand a little bit about the spiritual birth. And help us the best we can. Lord, we'll hush a lot of times. Even now, they begin to make rules in co-ops, whereas you can't go into a place and pass out tracts. Our young people just 2 weeks ago went to a place where they were stopped. Lord, we've been stopped in so many places. People going together and forming co-ops, and the law says you can't go and solicit now. So they're trying every way that they can to stop the word from being given out. It's going to be probably in the future where we won't even go on visitation on Thursday night or go on visitation here to solicit people to come to church because they're making so many laws that keeps that from happening. But this is we're in your will, Lord. And maybe that's the reason we have the radio. Maybe that's the reason why we can go into homes who cut the radio on thousands across this country to give the gospel out. We thank you for that. Maybe that's how you led in us, because we're true to the Word of God. Let us in our day, dear Lord, be able to get the Word out, even when these places many times are closing down from door-to-door visitation. I just know this. We know a person cannot be born spiritually in physical bodies, in the sense physical birth cannot bring about spiritual birth. But when we are born physically, we thank God that God has arranged a spiritual way that we'd be born into the family of God. Thank you for that tonight. Bless our people as they go their separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.